5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to MediCheck, the podcast where we're the noobs so you don't have to be. This week we'll be looking at what we love and what you should love about 5.2. We'll also provide a quick rundown to what to expect entering TOT and how to deal with elements of Gin Rock. Today I'm joined by three of the very best, all the way from Ghostlands EU, and in no particular order. First up, we got the Paladin, the Holy Healer, Toman.
Tommen. It's Tommen.
It's never going to get old. It's always going to be Toman.
Also, I don't like how you did it in no particular order and then came to me first. That always makes me a little bit paranoid.
Oh, I'm sorry. I won't include that in future recordings then.
Good.
Next up, we have Relic, Guild Leader and DK Tank.
Hello.
And last, and, well, possibly least.
Definitely least.
We have Melgrim, the Tree Healer.
Hello. And, of course, yourself, Flaps. I think you just call it TOT because you can't remember the full name, for the record.
Hey, look, I'm using shortened versions of the names because that makes me cooler, right?
No.
Everyone loves acronyms.
It's TLAs. You know, TLAs are the way forward.
Into the ground.
Okay, so Relic, what have you been up to since 5.2 came out on Wednesday of this week?
Oh, not much. I logged in, went to the new Troll Island, and I died to a big dinosaur.
Really?
Did a few dailies. That's it. Yeah.
Did you not have the disguise at that point, or was that not the dinosaur I'm thinking of?
I was just a random dinosaur.
Those pesky dinosaurs.
Or tried to kill. Yeah. No, I haven't had a chance to do much so far this week, apart from our raid on Thursday night.
Awesome.
A couple of days.
Which we'll get into a bit later.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
Tommen, what have you been up to this week?
I've been taking it easy. I've been doing recruit a friend and leveling a hunter and a warrior this week. Just because I don't have either. I've been playing a healer now for 3 expansions, and I figured I'd make a bit of a change and try and do something a bit different. So yeah, it's been pretty good fun. It's been stupid, really. I mean, playing a hunter, I'm working through Nagrand at the minute. I'm level 66. I've just got my warrior on follow, and my hunter's just ridiculous. I can pull about 20 mobs, and then I do disengage, just run away and dot them all up, and boom, everyone's dead. Excellent.
Which pet are you using?
I've ever done. I have got. It doesn't really matter, to be honest, because everything dies within about 2 seconds. I've got a fox called McLeod, which I think is probably the best name of a fox ever.
Is he a cunning fox?
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Baldrick approves.
Do we smell a main change on the way
no.
there?
No. Well, no, not this expansion.
No.
Maybe.
Too
maybe,
early to say.
Maybe.
Just a further descent into alter holism.
Excellent. How about yourself, Mel? What have you been up to this week?
Last and definitely least. I'm doing a terrible job of using any of my alts for this whole expansion. I've still got my old main hunter on 85. So far I've just been getting lots of lovely valor. I was planning to get the trinket and the neck, because I was misled by one of those nefarious blues into thinking that it was about approximately one boss kill to get to friendly.
Ah, so that's where that rumor came from, because I also heard the same thing. I probably heard it from you.
Yes.
But you still got the neck, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But
excellent.
I was on 3,000 and now I'm on... It's going to take me 2 resets to be able to get the trinket and the ring. Important decisions.
Oh dear. Well, at least you're gearing up. I mean, that's the main thing, right?
Yeah.
I have been rather sad this week, guys. I have valor capped my priest in 2 days. And I've done this by doing every single daily I possibly can. Now, I've made a lot of money from this, but I'm talking... You know, we're talking August Celestials, talking Shadow Power, we're talking the new ones, everything. Basically, absolutely everything yesterday. And I managed to Valor Cap today, and I've started doing it on a second character now. I don't quite know.
How much gold did you make
Do you know what? I'm not too sure. I did have a quick look at the deficit, and I think at one point yesterday, I mean, I was on about 2,000 gold that I made. And I spent like 23 gold on repairs and stuff like that. So I made a stupid amount of money yesterday, but that also includes obviously heroics and also LFR as well.
Hang on, you got valor capped by getting five valor at a time?
Sorry? No, I did obviously HCs and also
you did
LFR
five,
as well.
What is it? No, 200 dailies.
I think I did most of them. I might have missed some.
Are there 200 dailies?
I have no idea. So next time,
I would not be surprised.
Next time I go this crazy and actually decide to go through and do these dailies, I'll actually I'll write down some of the statistics, so the gold I earn and also how many daily missions I can actually do in a day. And so I'll let you guys know.
We all wait with bated breath.
So you had a couple of days off work to do that. Does that mean that you're quitting your job and you're just going to spend your entire time doing dailies from now on?
Yeah, and podcast.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
A live stream dailies with ads.
I mean, I've been very lucky. I've been, for the first time in my life, I'm in a position at work where I've actually got to the end of a holiday period with holiday left, so I can actually take it off and use it for WoW time, which is brilliant.
You are a sad, sad man.
I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying it. But anyway, moving on. So, obviously the news this week, well, 5.2, that's pretty big news, really.
Really?
So I just wanted a quick segment and just to have a quick talk about what we all love in 5.2. And again, let's start with Tommen. What's your favourite bit? Tommen, sorry. What's your favourite bit about 5.2 so far? I mean,
just gonna call
obviously
you
you've
T.
only had your alts.
Big T, I love it. I'm really excited about 5.2, to be honest. Big linear raid with lots of bosses. It just kind of, that's what ticks the boxes for me. I mean, I absolutely loved Alduar, and this has been touted as the next Alduar, I guess. So for me, it's super exciting. So yeah, I mean, that's what I've been looking forward to for a while now. We were still working through 5.0 when 5.2 hit in terms of the raiding. So, you know, we've still got some work to do there as well, but we've had our first, you know, couple of steps into the 5.2 raids, and it's been really exciting and fun. So for me, that's the big thing.
Excellent. We'll obviously come on to the 5.2 in our first go in TOT in a bit as well. Relic, what have you enjoyed so far about 5.2?
Oh dear.
Pet battles, be honest.
Well, I can't really say dailies. Well, the pet battles exploit was quite cool.
did you get in on that?
Yeah, I managed to get. I only did it for one level because I was pissing about with it yesterday afternoon. I went from, because I did it on my druid because I'm determined to get my druid up to 90, but he's at level 71 as of yesterday, and then within 25 minutes I went to level 72, and that was a full level's worth of XP just from pet battling.
Is that fixed?
So that was
now
pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I got nerfed.
I didn't last long.
No.
So just out of interest, actually, how much XP were you getting per battle there?
Well, at level 71, without any XP buffs from DMF or from a banner, I was getting 14k per kill.
Wow.
And so the trick was you take a level 5 or 6 pet and you go into Stormwind and attack level 1 pets, and it kills it in one blow and you get 14k XP, and so you run up to the next pet and do it again. And like, you're killing one animal every 30 seconds or so, so you're getting 28k per minute.
So wait a minute, so you could have a 25... level pet, and you could go in and fight a level 1 pet, which is effectively a one shot.
No. It has to be within
five levels. Right, okay.
Yeah. So the idea is, I mean, if you take a level 5 pet against a level 1 pet, it's going to one or two shot it. If you take a level 6, you get slightly less XP, I found. So I just stuck with my level 5s.
That's amazing. Oh, yeah. I wish I made use of that.
Yeah.
So what's it been fixed to now? What are people getting now instead?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. What that is.
Suddenly I feel
is it still
foolish,
a viable way of leveling, or not at all? Is it still
Sorry?
A viable way of leveling?
I wouldn't think so. But like last night, one of the hunters in our guild, Lammy, he leveled his hunter from 85 to 89 in 2.5 hours, or something stupid like that. He was getting 12 million
really?
XP an hour or something.
Yeah, I saw
yeah.
some people.
He's getting 100k per kill.
Suddenly, I'm not
getting.
So smug about never doing pet battles. Serves me right.
Apparently, well, it's been fixed now. Anyway, all the way up to 85 from level 1 in about 7 hours, which is just nuts.
Yeah.
Should have picked up on that one sooner.
Yeah. I don't have the patience for that, unfortunately. I was bored after 20 minutes.
Okay, where were we? So talk about what we love about 5.2. Tommen, I guess not much to go on at the moment, is there?
We've done me, you turd.
Mel's turn.
Mel, sorry.
I've got something extra to mention about 5.2, and it's that I don't hate the dailies.
Which is, you don't hate the dailies?
I don't yet hate them.
That's a revelation.
Well, the first... my impression is, A, that there are none that are horrendously annoying. Although finding the construct was a bit of a faff. But apart from that, you get to play a little lizard dude who can leap about 50 miles in one bound.
I got stuck twice doing that. It was
I haven't got to that one yet.
Leaping 50 miles in a single bound dude. But also, it sounds like they've just learned from their previous dailies. So there are still quite a few, but it sounds like they scale down a bit and change and stay interesting and actually give the whole realm a reward as well. Or the whole faction. Which I think is really nice. It's a little bit like the Sunwell Isle of Aquel Danas.
Yep.
Or similar.
Yeah.
Which really kind of brought the realm together. Even though you're still doing dailies on your own, it feels like you're contributing to a bigger effort, which is just a nice little incentive. Even though there isn't that much that I'm interested in actual reward-wise. It's just doing them for Valor and Mogu runes.
And to obviously unlock the next sections, which is all important.
I suppose so. That's I'll leave the lore fanatics to get excited about that.
Brilliant. And I mean, for me, to be honest, I'm just enjoying everything about 5.2 so far. I'm loving the new daily missions. I love the new priest changes. I was a bit worried that disc priests were going to be bit of a massive nerf, and in actual fact I did level up a monk just in case those nerfs became too much to actually play Disc Priest, but luckily it seems to be okay, and we'll come on to that in a bit as well. But yeah, I mean, 5.2, I've just had a lot of fun actually exploring the new island, and I can't wait to actually go onto the Dino Island as well, and I've just found out where it was last night, so one of my things to do tomorrow morning is to go and explore that a little bit and see what's actually on there. Have you guys been to the Dinosaur Island yet, or...?
No, and...
No, not yet. The Isle of Giants.
Isle of Giants, there we go.
Is that where Undust is?
I don't know. I thought Undust was on the Isle of Thunder, or whatever it is.
I've yet to be to the Isle of Giants and seen the dinosaurs, and my 5-year-old self is very disappointed in me.
You mean Dinosaur Island? Come on, guys, it's a much better name.
Freaking dinos.
Jurassic Park.
Me, Grimlock. Wait, what?
Okay, so just talking about a couple of the actual class changes that have come about so far then, and not going into this too much, because we could obviously really bore people with the amount of detail we can go into our classes, but certainly the main changes that have actually happened to your class in this patch... Tommen, has anything happened to Hurley Pally's at all?
No.
Right, so you're exactly the same. Is there no buffs, no nerfs, just exactly the same?
Apparently we're in a good place.
And you're staying there.
We're staying there. Yeah. So they've actually been doing these class reviews, I guess. The Blues have been posting a bunch of class reviews. The only change to Hurley is that it was kind of overpowered in PvP, so they've changed a few bits and pieces in PvP. They've changed the gear bonuses so that you have to have like a cast time spell instead of an insta cast spell, which just means that you can be interrupted a bit more, and stuff like that. Basically though, PvE Holy is exactly the same as it has been, and honestly I quite like that because I feel like we're in a pretty good place.
Oh, excellent.
There's been a lot of red changes, but I haven't really gotten into them, to be honest. I don't play rep.
Okay, so your DPS spec you haven't really explored since the patch then?
No, I don't think it's changed that much. I think they've put a baseline cooldown reduction on wings,
Okay.
And I think that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Relic, what have they changed in the world of DK? If anything.
Well, my main spec is Blood spec, and there's been nothing much to worry about, at least, with Blood spec. I think we had mainly buffs. We had maybe one or two nerfs, which don't really matter, because they were balanced out by all the buffs we got. It was quite cool. And my off-spec is Frost, and I think we got buffs on Frost as well, which is quite cool.
Awesome.
So I don't have anything to report, I'm afraid. It's much the same. Last night I found... I thought that some of like my rune management was a bit lax, but I put that down to Omni CC not being updated, so I didn't have my little counter on my abilities to tell me when things were coming back up.
Awesome.
And I live for my counters.
One thing I have noticed about Blood DKs, actually, and especially in LFR, and it might just be LFR because it's a bit of a weird time to test anything, but the amount of healing that DKs are doing at the moment is insane. I mean, I was actually out healing in a couple of HCs today. Granted, I was on my monk, so it's lower gear than my priest, but you know, the healing seems to be improved. Was there anything actually changed with that with Blizzard, or is that just pot luck of the people I've been playing with?
Not that I've seen.
To be honest.
That's fair. That's fair.
They weren't playing up against Windlord, were they?
I think they made some slight buffs to Death Siphon, so unless they're using Death Siphon, I'm not sure. But DKs have always done great healing for Blood.
Yeah.
And it's not hard for me to out-heal people in Heralds, because I do tend to spam Death Strike.
That's fair.
Which is one of our main heals.
Yeah. Excellent. And obviously, last but not least again, Melgrim, what's changed for Vestae Druids?
I don't know if I can fit this into less than half an hour.
Well, let's go.
What's
for
my deadline?
A
five,
shortened
10.
Version.
Well, they've done the same thing that they've tried to do with every class. The blue notes that Tommen mentioned, where the first thing they mentioned for every single one is we've tried to make more of the talents actually useful. And
okay.
They've done that with Resto Druids to the degree that I'm probably going to be working towards two sets of gear for two different talents. One is the fairly tried and tested Incarnation, which turns us into the Big Tree of Life and lets us spam Life Bloom on everybody and so on, which is a fairly traditional, reliable raid healing cooldown, which is very nice, and we've always used that. But there's another one which is... I'm going to get this wrong. I can only remember the acronym to continue a theme. Soul of the Forest, SOTF, I think. And what that gives us is a 75% haste buff on our next spell after Swift Mend. And that lines up really nicely with Wild Growth. So stacking, and even more so if we stack a little more haste, which means, for example, as Jewelcrafter, getting the two haste gems, which is a big drop to int. But in theory, if there's consistent raid damage, you could be looking at spamming out Wild Growth just constantly. And they gave us a flat 10% buff, and Rejuve costs less, so we're back to spamming Rejuve, and it fills up our little mushrooms, which I'm still experimenting with. So it just loads of changes.
I have to say, you mentioned spam a lot there. So
it's not
it does
quite
sound like
Lich
trees
King.
Are going back to the days of Wrath.
Not quite, no. We will pretty much go and back in Lich King, even if someone was a little notch away from full health, you would just click it anyway, because what the hell, you had infinite mana. Whereas with this one, you've still got to follow the old druid adage of trust your hots, basically. Don't just put them on someone who's... you've got to do two things. You've got to not use them on someone who's nearly full, and you've got to not use them on someone who's low, and then top it up and waste the rest of the hot. So it's still... there's still a bit of consideration instead of just spamming. But I'm still playing with it. I haven't got a full set of gear for this crazy Wild Growth haste build yet. That's going to take... that works best with the tier 4 from tier 14. The 4 set, rather. And it's nice, though, because in the last tier, it was pretty much, this is the set of talents you get, the end. Whereas now, there are two that really change how you play Druid, and I'm quite looking forward to it, because it hasn't been like that for a while. Like, when Tommen was playing around with a different style of paladin healing, I kind of went, wow, what does that feel like? And now I get to find out. So I'm really...
It's nice. And I think they need to... I think Blizzard almost need to try and do this on a lot of different stuff. I think they need to try and bring in these two kind of different specs and such. But, I mean, to talk through priest changes is going to take too long. So I'm not actually going to do it tonight. So
did they fix some of your talents? So there's some that weren't ever ones that you consider that you now would?
Not so much, no. I mean, they put in Power Word Solace, I think it was, which gives you 1% mana whenever you use it, and it basically replaces your Holy Fire. But to me, I still find in the, I think it's called Mindbender, is a lot better talent for me, and I was a bit worried about my healing going into last night, and I was worried about what to actually expect, but I've actually chose, so you with it's much the same, with Priest now, you can either go Mastery Spec, or you can go Crit Spec, and... I chose to go crit spec because I prefer doing damage and using the smart heal of atonement. If obviously any disc priests out there are actually using their shields more, so if they're using prayer of healing and spirit shield, then obviously mastery is still the best way to go, even though if it is reduced and a bit nerfed. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to go into it too far, but the priest changes to me, I don't feel like discipline has been too nerfed, and I'm pretty sure the healing meters from last night showed that as well. Obviously for the first time since this patch, since 5.1, sorry, or 5.0, the disc priest wasn't 20k above healing and everyone else, but it was still
in blues.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. It's still pretty good. But that's a quick class rundown there.
I'm curious how things are going to stack up generally. It's always interesting watching, for example, I think druids were a little underloved, and maybe a couple of the other classes as well. I think chamois weren't quite up there with paladins and holy priests, but and monks were killing it to start with, and then got the nerf bad a little bit too much. So it's always fun watching how things balance out, and not just from looking at raid bots. It's as much just watching in pugs and our own guild, seeing how healing stacks out and how things change with the DPS classes. And even if the tanks have a hard time or what have you, if one of the tanks starts doing better than the others because their ability's got a buff, it's always shifting with each patch. It's kind of interesting to watch.
Absolutely. And I think... I don't know, I don't think Blizzard are going to do any hot fixes to any of the healing at the moment. Not that I've seen anyway. Looking through the logs, everyone seems pretty even.
They're going to kill the druid's 10% buff. They're going to realise that was...
I don't know if they will. They seem to be taking the more of a stand of actually buffing all the healers as opposed to that. I mean, in fairness as well, I think we could actually class Relic as a healer because of the amount of healing that he normally actually does in a raid. Blood DKs at the moment are doing insane healing. But anyway, let's move on. So, the next bit, we basically just want to talk a little bit... about kind of how to raid. Obviously, that's one of the ideas of this show, is to try and help people and try and help guilds on how to raid and such. And we've named the next section, and I do believe it's something that Relic, you have to introduce. We had enough beers yet.
We gon' die!
There we go.
One more time.
Excellent.
One more time. I didn't quite get that. What did you say?
We gon' die.
And we've got the screenshot of corpses to prove it.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Didn't you love that screenshot? Bloody hell.
So I think the first thing to mention is we were trying to get through 5.2 content quite quickly so that we could hit new content. 5.1 content quite quickly. 5.0, 5.1.
It had a 5 in there somewhere. I'm pretty sure there was a 5.
It's a 5. Come on, you guys got the idea. Everyone's going to understand. But we're trying to hit it really quickly and try and get through it in the last couple of weeks so we can hit 5.2 running. How far did we get, Rel?
In 5.0?
Yes, yep.
Yeah, we got up to, but not including, is it Blade Lord?
Drac, yes.
Meldrak, yeah, the Blade Lord who doesn't actually use blades.
More of a Wind Lord.
The fourth boss, we went 3 of 6 Heart of Fear, basically. We spent far too long trying to get Gowlon down, unfortunately. But that's it. That is what it is. Yeah, so we got halfway through Heart of Fear before the patch hit. The patch came far too quickly. I was hoping for end of March at the earliest. But
yeah, we always had a challenge getting a guild up to speed and trying to work through all the raid content. Plus, Blizzard always seemed to really pack things in for the first set of raid content for the expansion. It was the same in Cataclysm. There was a lot to get through. So I think we did considering that, and having a guild gel while raiding, and it's a bit like running and hopping and patting your head and rubbing your tummy all at once.
And that's...
Yeah, so, I mean, people who don't... who are listening to this who don't know about our guild... basically, the team we had coming into Mr. Pandaria was completely different than the team we had in Cataclysm, yeah. Dragon Soul, so it was getting used to everyone again. But yeah, that was the challenge, and we have managed it. We have a pretty good team now. So 5.2 is.
Yeah, I mean, we still hate each other, but we're raiding. We're doing okay.
And like you said, the whole kind of gelling together as a raid team and everything like that. I mean, that actually came together on Thursday, I believe, for our first ever attempt. And Tommen as raid leader. I'm going to let you introduce this.
Yeah, so we decided to shelve Heart of Fear, I guess, for the time being, and we wanted to take a first exploratory step into Throne of Thunder. And we spent the night working on Jinrock the Breaker. We went in there thinking, right, fine, we're probably going to wipe a few times, but we'll go in and see it. We took a really strong team. I don't want to call it our A team, because we've actually got a really good group of raiders, and a lot of people didn't get to raid last night who could quite easily slot into that A team anyway. But it was a strong team. We took a really strong team, and the idea was that we'd just get in there, see it all while we still had a chance to work through our own tactics before everybody had theorycrafted it to death, and just give it a go, really. So we did, and we spent most of the night wiping, which was quite unfortunate, really.
A lot of wipes,
yeah. We've actually got a screenshot with all the corpses on the floor, which is quite hilarious, really. I don't think I've ever seen the floor that white.
It looks like it snowed.
Yep. It's pretty good. So, yeah, we struggled a little bit with the fight, but on the last attempt of the evening, as is often the case, it all came together, and we managed to finish him in the end.
It's almost like a WoW cliche, isn't it? Just final attempt of the night.
We'll give it one more go, everybody. Just concentrate a little bit, and that seems to work. So I reckon we should just have 10-minute long raid nights every week.
Yeah. My last guild used to have this tradition of a tabards on attempt, where everyone had to put on their guild tabard. And if everyone had their guild tabard on for the last attempt, often we would get the kill we were hoping for.
we would just have the prophet flaps, who would have a good feeling.
Yeah.
We would have a bunch of people saying, you don't have a guild tabard. Or it's in the bank, or I sold it.
And that was it. That was just a wipe fest then.
They ruined it for everyone.
So once again, I'm going to look at Tommen here, who's obviously the raid leader for Harvest Moon. Tommen, I mean, what kind of advice would you give guilds going into TOT for the first time?
So obviously we only saw Jinrock, and we are what we have described ourselves as a sort of a casual core guild, which basically means that we don't raid very often. We raid 2 nights a week for 2.5 hours per night for, you know, 5 hours total, and we aim to let everybody see the content, so we're not particularly elitist in only taking the best people to a raid. So, you know, we're not world first, we're not server first, we're not faction first, we like to see the content, and we want to do it in a timely fashion. So my advice to other guilds in the same situation would be to take 3 tanks. That's terrible advice. That is terrible advice. But interestingly enough, that's the thing that actually managed to crack it for us. So we were having a lot of problems with the one of the abilities that he does, the static wound, which basically is a debuff that he applies to the current tank, which then whenever they take damage, whenever he hits the tank after he's applied the debuff, it then does damage to the rest of the raid as well. And the problem that we were having is we needed to overlap because the debuffs weren't running out quickly enough. So a tank would inevitably get hit with when he had the static wound a number of times, and it just meant that, particularly before a lightning storm came in, everybody was at really low health, and we really struggled to do I'm going to call them phase transitions. They're not phase transitions, they're pool transitions, I guess, after the lightning storm. But we kind of struggled with that because, you know, we were just taking a lot of damage there. So the way that we managed to fix that, and we did it on the last attempt of the night, is we decided that we would get our monk, our DPS monk, to tank it. And we set up a 3-tank taunt rotation so that we never had an overlapping static wound. Another tank would basically taunt as soon as it hit. And that meant that the raid damage stayed really low, and we managed to get the kill. What I would say is that compared to the PTR, he actually has a lot less health, and it feels like we were doing an awful lot of damage. I mean, we've got some pretty good DPSs, but all of our DPSs were doing over 100k at least, which for, you know, a guild that doesn't have particularly well geared people, I think it worked pretty well for us. So we managed to drop a DPS and still make the soft enrage with plenty of time left to spare. So that's definitely something to consider, I guess, if you're having an awful lot of problems. If your healers are struggling, I'd go with 3 tanks.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff. I mean, you watch the kind of tank spot videos and stuff on this fight, and there's a lot of kind of suggestions and stuff. But it's one of those fights that I kind of feel, and I don't know about you guys, I kind of feel like we had to almost tailor it to our players. So we had very good DPS, and perhaps the healing was a bit lower. I'm not sure. I mean, looking at the logs, I'm not too sure. But Relic, how do you feel about that?
Well, I've been thinking about it all day, as I often do. I wasn't happy with the fact that we killed him with 3 tanks.
No.
Mainly because it meant that the 2 tanks... Well, I was quite glad that we killed him.
Yeah, kill's still a kill.
It felt like cheating.
But if we were going to do it properly, doing it properly with 2 tanks, and I blame it on watching videos like Tankspot, because the guides say swap on static wound, and what you actually want to do, you get a 3-second debuff before static wound is applied, and you want to taunt when that is applied to you. Because if you wait until you get static wound and then call out for a taunt, you're going to be hit, and everyone's going to get hit with... Because you start off with 10 stacks of static wound, which is 120k damage to the entire raid. Not even spread out amongst 10 people, I don't think, I'm not sure. But it's a shitload of damage.
It was a lot.
So if we were
a lot.
I mean, there was a lack of tank communication. There was... I think it became quite apparent quite soon that this wasn't going to be the easy ride that the tanks thought it would be. We thought it was going to be a simple tank swap fight, and it'll be the DPS going to push it. But it turns out that it's not so much of a bitch as Stone Guard was as a first fight. So it's very stressful for tanks. By the last few pulls, I think Drambuie, my co-tank, and I pretty much had it down, but we were still not getting the taunts exactly right. We had some backseat driving from some people, which, you know, they felt it was needed, but anyway, we ended up going for 3 tanks, and that's what got it. But the next time, I reckon we'll try for 2 tanks and give that a go.
Well, the nice thing is pretty much the whole guild on Thursday, or Wednesday and Thursday, got 1 or 2, in some cases 3 new epics. So right off the bat, we'll be significantly better geared for the next one. We've had a lot of experience moving around. It's one of those fights where you can avoid a lot of the damage if you do it right. And things like stacking a little tighter in when he's doing his blanker impression from Street Fighter would help. Just little things.
And speaking of gear, one of the mythical Thunderforge items dropped off.
That was amazing.
It did, yes. I think it was the...
It was a tanking neck, and the other tank got
it. Was it the very first pull?
Yep.
It was the first trash pack, I think. So, please, Blizz, let that happen more often.
Especially for Harvest Moon, right?
Yeah, the Harvest Moon drop chance on Thunderforged items is 100% off trash.
We should go in, farm trash, reset, farm trash, reset.
That's not a bad idea. At least you get vet. Excellent. So, we obviously got the boss down, albeit using 3 tanks. Hopefully, next week, is it next Thursday we're going back in, or is it next Sunday?
Next Sunday.
When we go back in there, we're going to use 2 tanks and hopefully be able to bring a bit more tactics and insight into the fight there. The other thing I wanted to cover as well in this section is what gear or what rep should we be trying to head towards to get gear. I mean, obviously not everyone's always going to read MMA Champ etc. to look at all the blue notes, so just give people an insight of what they should actually be working towards. And Mel, you're pretty much the gear whore here, so I guess it's probably best to speak to you about this. What kind of gear or what kind of rep are you going for at the moment?
Well, I can't speak for all classes, but the way that I like to prioritize gear is the wonderful Ask Mr. Robot. They've just been throwing new features at it, and one of them is, what's the next upgrade I should get with Valor? What's the best way to spend it?
Is that a premium service that you can now pay for Mr. Robot? Is that right?
Yeah, they're adding a bunch of features which are, but I think it's something like a tenner a month, a year, or something really worthwhile.
It's really
there's a trial that you can jump on. I really find it's worth it. It's really nice. They get rid of ads if you do that as well, so you don't get horrible flashing Google, here's how I whitened my teeth by magic ads.
Oh man, I like those ads.
You do have shiny white teeth.
Aren't those Google ads tailored to your search priorities? Have you been searching?
What are you saying about my teeth?
Yeah, you must have been.
I mean, also, for example, if it's just a case of looking at the upgrades and finding out what you can get, the trinket for healers is amazing. For me, at least, it's pre-heroic best in slot. And what is that? The Shadow Pan green glowy orb. Not the official name. Basically gets you a mini innovate. It gets you 30k mana when you use it.
How often can you use that?
I think it's every 3 minutes. So it's not quite innovate. Innovate's more around 70k. But that's on top of my innovate or the other mana return mechanism equivalents. So it's nice, and I like it returning mana, because healing trinkets, which are extra throughput on use, it's harder to kind of weave them in. Whereas at some point you're always going to use mana. Anyway, it just involves a lot of reading and seeing what you can afford with Valor. What I was trying to do this week was again. Being misinterpreting that blue post, thinking that we would kill Jinrock and then I would be able to get the ring and the trinket with 3,000 valor points exactly. That didn't quite turn out, but
are there any slots that you prioritise to replace? Say if you had enough valor for one or two pieces, and you had the rep to get a piece for any slot. Any slots that you prioritise?
No, not so much. It's more about maintaining the set bonuses that you have, which is quite tricky to juggle things with, and then deciding, oh, do I just drop down to 2-set bonus, and when do you make the switch when you eventually start getting the tier items first, probably first from LFR and then from the normal raids.
Yeah.
But prioritizing, no, unless you've got an item slot that's really weak, and also there are only so many items available with each reputation level, so you can't go, right, I definitely need a head slot, I'm going to get one of them. It's generally, you just want to grab the best upgrade that you can afford at the time. And
obviously that's quite good that they've actually brought down the price of the old, was it 489 stuff, haven't they? They've halved it, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing some nice catch-up changes that don't... they're just nice. I like the way they've done it this time.
Yeah, it's also, I think, and I forgot to mention it before as well, it's one of my favourite points of 5.2. They didn't reset Valor. I mean, that's amazing. It just makes you feel like you don't have to start all over again. You can obviously get these new items when they come out and such. But it's, that is certainly just been one of the main things for me, especially giving up ult.
Yeah, it's nice as well that we would sort of slowing down a little bit on Garalon and so on, so I think a lot of people were like, oh, more loot would be quite nice, and you can get more loot. Just jumping straight in, you've got all that lovely valor that you can spend. You could spend the Mogu runes of wonderfulness on getting an extra roll on the first boss, and that worked out nicely for some of us.
I think...
Yeah, I got gold last night.
Sorry?
Thanks.
You got gold, did you? And a warm, fuzzy feeling, which was actually hatred towards the healers.
Yeah, my first rune used, got an item. I'm liking that. That's 100%
for
me so far.
Yeah, we're rocking the same cloak now.
We are.
Crit's
we
better
are.
For you, Excellent. Though, unfortunately, but I'll, it's not terrible for me. It helps a bit.
Absolutely.
That was that kind of, not to sidetrack too much, but there was a fair amount of interesting discussion around that, just leading up to 5.2. There were a bunch of interviews, and I think it was either Ghostcrawler or Ion, talking about how you don't want to rely entirely on theory crafting. So, for example, crit is looked down upon for some healers, but,
yeah.
Well, in some ways it's better than mastery because it's a bigger heal without having to spend more mana or all these kind of absolute, this is definitely the best way, especially with healers where it's harder to simulate. I really liked a lot of the points that they were making in some of the interviews leading up to 5.2, saying, look, there isn't an absolutely perfect way to play. Maybe for the absolute top guilds who will change professions and races at the drop of a hat, but for anyone who's outside of the top 50 or whatever, it's a case of playing as best you can with what you've got, as opposed to taking the theory crafting right down to the literal letter.
People always home in and watch these kind of heroic guilds and stuff like that, look at the specs, see how they're playing and think that's the perfect way to play. But like you said, it seems like Blizzard are trying to make it more individual, I feel.
Yeah, and they pushed that with the talent changes. And the thing is that the top guilds are just... like, I was looking at some of the top resto druids and their spell usage and just going, what is going on here? They're using... because they're at the bleeding edge of gear and just trying out crazy stuff to absolutely maximise their throughput that doesn't apply to 99% of the WoW population.
Yeah, completely agree. Okay, cool. So, we're going to move on. We're going to go on to the mod of the week. So... I think, Malcolm, you're going to take this one this week, aren't you? And would you like to introduce your mod and why you love it and why people should use it?
Yeah, sure. I'm almost a little reluctant to after your wonderful glowing introduction there, because it's an add-on that's a little controversial in some circles, but I think it depends how you use it. The add-on is Spellflash, and... part of me is almost surprised that Blizzard is cool with this, because it tells you what to cast. I think very specifically to DPS, it's had some criticism before, but they've actually very publicly said, posted, there's a page you can go to where they show the rotations that they're working to, and they're pretty darn good. They've done a lot of research, but there are obvious concerns around this kind of add-on, because at what point are you just not playing the game and just playing whack-a-mole? To backtrack a little bit, the way it works is, for example, if I'm... So my off-spec is Boomkin, and it will basically flash the priority spell, and there are even some times it will flash green if it's an optional spell or a few other different clever things like that. But...
So I might be wrong on this one. Didn't Blizzard introduce something to the UI though? So like, if you had was it Star Surge? I think it is for Boomkins
with the glowing gold surround. That shows you procs that are up. So for example, if Star Surge pops up and you can cast it instantly, it will glow around it. And hunters have that with a few abilities and probably a bunch of classes. It's, you know what, I like. Basically, I switched to Boomkin at the beginning of this expansion, and it just helps ease the learning curve. It's kind of like a visual tutorial. I think for raiding, you would be nuts to raid with it. Basically, I do. I've done LFR with it in the past, but it's almost like training wheels. Like I said, it's very close to the ideal rotation, but you don't want to follow it blindly, because as DPS you need to be saving cooldowns, you need to be timing things, you need to be knowing when to save an ability for AoE and so on, and how to AoE. So it's basically...
I was using it during our Garrulon kill.
Yes.
Because I was DPSing and I was still learning.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's great for learning. I think there's absolute... I would just feel inadequate using it for my main spec. I mean, for healers, it doesn't work.
Well, that's because healers don't have rotations.
No,
that you can set
for healers. It will, for example, for me, it would flash Mark of the Wild if it wasn't cast on the rest of the raid. So it's clever little reminders like that. But it is just basically really good for learning. And for example, if you decide to switch your off-spec, you're just not starting from scratch. It's a really nice introductory guide. Like I said, I think it is probably... I can definitely understand why some players look down upon it, but I found it really useful, and I'm definitely going to use it when I haven't played my Hunter for a very long time. He was my main in TBC and Lich King, and Hunters have changed a heck of a lot, so when I jump back leveling him the remaining five levels, I'll definitely just get up to speed quicker with how to play all the new Hunters' abilities by using this. It's a pretty interesting add-on.
And that add-on's just available on Curse quite openly, so if anyone's got the Curse client or boots up their Explorer, they can just search for that in Curse, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, and all the different classes have a sub add-on for the different rotations. There might even be other versions, so there might be a couple of different rotation versions for the DK, depending on which different people think is better. But yeah, it's up there on Curse, and easy to try out. Just don't do heroics with it, or everyone will look down on you. That's probably pushing it too far.
Oh, depends if you get decent DPS. I think that's certainly a mod I'm going to be downloading from the amount of alts I have. It's so often that I actually play my main, go back to an alt, and completely forgot what to do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if I went back to my Affliction lock, which I haven't played in a good couple of months now, it's going to be the same. But
it'll be good for that. I'm almost looking forward, though, to a method video popping up and someone going, "Oh my god, you're using Spellflash, what the hell, I thought you were pro."
I'd love that. In fact, Tom, and next time you do one of the Harvest Moon streams, I think you should definitely have Spellflash installed.
I actually use an add-on called CLC Ret on my Ret Paladin, which essentially does the same thing, so don't judge me.
Deal with it.
Irony, a paladin not asking for judgment.
Hey. Well, actually, it basically just tells me which half of the keyboard I need to roll my face on. So it's left side, bosh, bosh, bosh. Right side, bosh, bosh. Done.
Well, same for me. Me trying to relearn Frost DK, I was doing 35k in 482 eye level, which
nice.
Was ridiculously low. But then when I took Spellflash, the great add-on, I went up to like 50k, so... it's just a matter of now of getting the muscle memory of what I'm supposed to be hitting, because I hadn't played Frost DK in like 4 or 5 months, so it takes a little while to
get
back.
DKs, I still don't understand how anyone's head doesn't explode trying to use an optimal rotation with four different resources. I just don't understand how Blizzard even came up with it melts my brain. I think DKs must be very clever, or I must be very stupid. No comments, please.
It's the latter. Both. It's the latter.
Excellent. Thanks for that. And, sadly, that brings us to the end of the show. So, any questions, or if anyone has any ideas to submit to the show, that includes the guys on the show, then please send an email to mailbag@readycheck.co.uk. So that can be anything. You can send us in what you liked, what you didn't like, absolutely anything. You can even just... sending a mail in just to say how bad Maelgrim's healing is. Again, that's just mailbag@readycheck.co.uk. So thanks for listening, everyone, and please join us for next week for episode number 2, and goodbye.